Welcome to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Six-time national champion bodybuilder, one-on-one peak performance coaching specialist, Mass Machine Nutrition Supplement Company owner, and speaker Skip LaCour offers his expert advice on training, nutrition, and motivation that will help you take your efforts to the next level. He also interviews the most interesting and passionate people in the bodybuilding and fitness world so you can learn from their knowledge and success too.
Hello everybody, welcome to this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. I am Skip LaCour, and during this special series of bodybuilding and fitness podcast, I am bringing to you the most interesting and passionate people in bodybuilding and fitness. And I also have some other requirements. I want you to be introduced to leaders, people who aren't afraid to speak their mind and lead others, and their backstory, because I firmly believe, and if you've been a fan of mine, you've listened to these podcasts enough, you know that a lot of guys, they get caught up in the sets and reps and the how-to, the strategies. And although I firmly believe there are some strategies that are more effective than others, but when you have that winning mindset, you can make any strategy work, or you certainly can get on your way to use the one you have, then find another one when you have that mindset. I have a very special guest for you today. What I really love about this guy is he's outside of my normal world of just the hardcore bodybuilders. Although he's a force and fitness really in a lot of ways far, far greater than any bodybuilder, that hardcore bodybuilder has his effect on more people. His name is Elliot Hulse. And now you may know Elliot Hulse from his YouTube following. He's got a massive following, over 1 million subscribers. How he's earned that level of respect is he's a strength coach. He's a professional strongman. And he's created this through the internet, through his local area too, the Strength Camp Gym, where that's where you see most of the videos. But he's ascended far past that. I mean, this guy's a leader about how to get the most out of yourself, become the best version of you that you can be. Actually, it kind of ties in with his strongman image. It's to become the strongest version of ourselves. That's what his mission is. He's done an amazing job, charismatic personality. Welcome to this podcast, Elliot Hulse. How are you today, sir?
Great, Skip. Thank you. That was wonderful.
And it's true. You know, I'll tell you, you probably heard this a million times, being that you're so popular on YouTube, right? And you are so famous for one very creative branding. You probably, everywhere you go, you probably hear, "Yo, Elliot," right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. even my children.
Right, right. So I didn't want to start off with something so trite, but I had to throw that in, right? I'll tell you something. You are such a charismatic, determined, you know, easy on the eyes, good-looking man there too. And people might just see you and say, well, Elliot's so successful. Well, look at him. Look at him. I mean, look at his body. Look at the way he looks. He's probably had confidence, you know, since the day he was born. That's kind of out of my reach. I know what goes behind success. Is that really selling short the journey of what took you to get where you are today?
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a single person in the world who loves themselves 100%. And I think that's really where it begins. If someone is to be perceived as born perfect, that means that they love themselves 100%. Uh-huh. And every single one of us has had experiences, and you know, it might not even be that we've had the worldly experiences, but we come into the world with certain patterns which cause us to turn from ourselves somewhat, you know. But really, when you become conditioned to participate in society, there's a lot of self-denial that goes on. You know, if you speak to a Jungian, they would say that these are split-off parts of your consciousness that make their way into the shadow. Uh-huh. So in order to get along, you know, we live in a world where getting along, democracy, is paramount. So we have to come in and, you know, as raw as we are, but we are subjected to conditioning, you know, manners, ways of being. The way this is instilled sometimes is very insidious, and sometimes it's very overt. You know, there are laws.
Right.
So, you know, you come into the world a raw being, and if you're just left raw, you're going to be, it's not going to work out for anyone, really.
Right.
You know, you're going to face a lot of challenges. So it's like we come into this world and we decide that we're going to dance this dance of society, civilization at this particular time. And I've yielded to the fact that you're not going to get away with not being conditioned somehow. Let's just hope that it's for your benefit. But through the conditioning process, there are parts of our consciousness that, and our character, I don't even have to use the word consciousness because that might go too deep. Our character, our way of being, that's just not appropriate, or so we have been told. And we reject them because they cause us more harm than good. You know, if I have a temper, and every time something doesn't go my way, I really throw a temper tantrum. I may not even really want to hurt someone, but because I throw myself on the floor and I throw a temper tantrum, there comes a point when, you know, shame gets you to stop doing that shit. So you cut off that part of you that wants to aggressively express itself when the organism is under duress,
right?
And rechannel the energy in your body and in your consciousness, your brain. So you really cut that part off. So now, when confronted, you know, now that you're a conditioned individual, confronted with the circumstance that gets you to be very charged up and you want to express yourself in a temper tantrum, which you can't do if you're 35 years old in a business meeting,
right?
You start, the body becomes tightened and clenched, and you start to clench down on on your extra respiratory muscles, the muscles that would allow you to breathe fully. You know, you kind of bite down a little bit. You know, when they say bite your lip or bite
your tongue,
or suck it up,
to get along, right?
Well, what I'm describing are actual physical actions.
Oh, I see.
You know, getting along is something that you do outside, but
sure.
I'm talking about what happens in your body.
Gotcha.
You literally suck it up. When somebody says suck it up, there's a that describes a physical action in the body. When somebody says bite your tongue, even when it's excessive and they say the guy's got a loose tongue. So these are all expressions of physical activity, you know, and there's so many of them. I think they call these euphemisms or something, but they're just the ways that we express character through actions in the body. So, you know, it's a little different. So
right.
What
so,
happens is,
so I'm curious is that, it sounds like, you know, you're really self-aware, from not just the thoughts, but the physical actions that you and other people do in this position. Was there a point in your life where you just said enough? Was there that defining moment that you went on a different path and, broke free from maybe those challenges that you talked about in the past?
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's the evolution of becoming the strongest version of yourself.
Uh-huh.
When I say that, the evolution of becoming a stronger version of yourself is falling back in love with who you really are, not placing judgments on the things that are happening in your unconscious or in your body. You know, guilt and shame, these are probably the most insidious ones. They come in and, you know, we have all sorts of sexual shame that revolves around feelings of guilt. With, if you study Freudians, they'd say like the Oedipal complex and whatnot. And, the way we come to know our sexuality through our mother. And then, you know, all of this suppression and then tickling in society where, you know, you've got... there's pornography everywhere, basically. So we're sexually repressed and guilty about our sex, or and then we're teased with it in media. And
right.
You know, even those who are spreading their sexuality aggressively, it's not tender enough for them to actually be enjoying the lovemaking process. So what I'm saying is, like, the cutting off of that part of us that we've chosen not to love anymore will give us so much pleasure in so many different ways if we learn how to once again look at it and dance with it and access it and allow it to become a part of your strength. Joseph Campbell describes it as this way. We're continuing with the shadow analogy that I mentioned before with Jung. So, you know, Jung says that it's cast into the shadow. Well, Joseph Campbell, who a comparative mythologist, says that that we are to come, that the hero's journey is to come full circle and then eat your shadow. It's a big difference between having the shadow cast off and ignoring it, uh-huh. You know, these parts of your consciousness that are physical and mental. It's not enough to just acknowledge it. But when you eat something, it nourishes you. So he's saying that we become so intimate with our shadow that it becomes a part of who we are. And now we're accessing all of ourselves. And we can be strategic about how we approach the world, but we are grounded in ourselves. We are not we don't feel guilty about ourselves. We're not cut off from our anger. We're not cut off from our sadness. We're willing to see it for what it is, confront it, and not let it control us also. So it's a level of personal mastery that I think is afforded one who begins to love him or herself a little bit more. Right. And I know that was a bit of a long answer, but what I want you to know is
I
haven't always loved myself.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to, you know, I'm trying to, in these series of interviews, I mean, people can look at you, look at your physique, look at that charisma, you know, on your YouTube videos, the boldness that you have, and they want to know, well, how did he evolve? You kind of alluded to some of the journeys that we all go through. I've been impressed by, if you go to ElliotHulse.com, you know, and I've read things of when you signed up for YouTube, signed off on YouTube, and we will get into that whole story, your evolution, your rise, and why you decided to go in a different direction, which is really admirable there, too. So there's a lot of things to talk about. But I guess my question is, what put you on this path of enlightenment? On your website, you know, you talked about some of your challenges, and I could really connect and identify with those challenges that you went through along the way. And I think that's when you really connect to people. So for the people who don't know your story, what was that moment of decision where you had your epiphany or you went through so much pain that put you on this path to become who you are?
Well, I don't think it was ever an epiphany. I think it was just a pattern the pattern I bought into this world. You know, I was born to American immigrants from Belize.
Okay.
My father's side is of mixed race. My great-great-great-grandfather was European, and he married what we would call a coolie woman, uh-huh. but a black woman. And apparently he was short and stocky, and she was tall and, like, lanky and lean. But anyway, so coming to be first-generation American in a suburb of New York City, where, you know, if you know anything about Long Island, it's really New York too is a diverse culture, but segregated socioculturally.
Right.
So everybody knows their piece, you know, it's such a melting pot, but everybody knows where they come from. So, you know, I grew up with a lot of Puerto Rican kids and Jewish kids and Italian kids and Irish kids and so many others. And they, you know, they all sort of had their place. And I being of mixed race, then also from a Latin American country and don't speak English because Belize was an English colony up until about 1989 when they got their independence. It was British Honduras prior to the independence.
Uh-huh.
I had a sense very early on that I didn't know who I was.
Yes. And,
you know, it's like everybody kind of knows who they are, what they are. That was really the first term that was used to ask me. You know, I was a kid and children would ask, what are you? So what are you? So that set a pattern for me.
Yeah.
And I guess since the time I was a child, you know, I could tell you I probably started reading books. I think it was called Man's Search for Himself by Apollo May when I was probably in like seventh or eighth grade. And since then, it's just been a path of trying to figure that out. What the hell am I?
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Boy, I could tell you, my background is very similar, not totally similar, but the same mixed race and that same, the question, who are you and how do I fit in? So I can definitely identify where that really makes you ask yourself that question and figure it out for yourself. It sounds like we've had similar paths for similar reasons. So I definitely, so have you always been interested in fitness? People come to you initially, you being so motivational, you helping out so many people around the world, I think that you realize what they come to you for isn't really what they come to you for, but they come to you for your fitness advice, right? Have you always been interested in fitness? How did that all come about?
Well, fitness is where it began. My path of self-discovery wasn't through books and meditation.
Uh-huh.
My path of self-discovery was through weightlifting. So, you know, when you are a young man and you take it upon yourself to set and achieve a goal and see it come to fruition, you know, of your own making, because of course, you know, you get all these goals like, well, you ought to do good in school, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So that should be a goal, or you ought to win this for the team. But when you set and reach a goal for yourself, and of course, you know, there are always guides, masters, along the way. So I had great mentors. You know, my Uncle Elroy taught me how to weightlift when I was about 14 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I fell in love with I guess, self-discovery through my body, through exercise. Stretching even became something that I really enjoyed doing and I would always challenge myself with. But through growing strength, you know, how much stronger could I get? I became very obsessed with it at some point, but it gave me the battleground to work out a lot of my quote unquote demons, you know, figure myself out.
Yes.
And I think it can do that for a lot of young men. I mean, weightlifting and strength training and athleticism is definitely an arena for you to battle it out with yourself towards self-discovery.
Right. I think that, you know, what you're working on now is even takes that whole process to another level. They come to you for the fitness, the strategies, and you add a lot more to that, you know, I really want to talk to. So, you know, you're so much more than a strength coach. You're so much more than a professional strongman or a gym owner. There's a lot of things going behind the scenes. Obviously, you're very articulate, very intelligent, very insightful. But, you know, behind the scenes, what a businessman you are, a copywriter. I mean, the visionary for your videos and getting those produced. Internet marketer, all those type of things. You've created this great life of influence, but also doing what you love to do. And that's quite admirable. It goes far, far beyond what you accomplished with your physical body. Why don't you tell me about Strongman, that whole journey and why it took you there rather than bodybuilding or what other direction. Tell me about your journey to becoming a pro strongman.
Well, I played football in college. So, and a big part of why I was a great football player in college was because I'm reckless.
Uh-huh.
Like I know how to do whatever it takes to get a thing done. I would literally run through someone, you know, to get the ball. I was ruthless and punishing and sly. And I was a very good defender and offender. You know, I tackled people and I ran them over with the ball.
Uh-huh.
So I got my greatest physical expression. Of course, weight training taught me strategy. And it taught me how discipline, but football let me express myself, you know. So I was the guy they would say the headhunter on kickoff.
Uh-huh.
Put me at the end and let me just burn it out and get there and knock somebody out. You know, break up the wedge, just that guy. That was me. So I was lucky enough after college football to meet some really good mentors that taught me various exercise strategies for honing in and controlling energy. And I know that sounds strange, but because I'm by nature such a brute, I don't really channel my energy intently. So in other words, the difference between somebody who will take a 220-pound barbell, 25-pound barbell, and do big-ass cheat curls versus the guy who has dumbbells and he's doing concentration curls.
Right.
I'm naturally the first one. I'm just a brute. So what I learned the other way, you know, I think what, one of the lessons in life is to give yourself permission to go to both ends of this spectrum, no matter what it is that you're studying, and learn, because it adds to your creativity. So here I am, a brute, and I learned functional exercise, and I learned about holistic health, and I learned about how the organs and the muscular system work together. I also took it upon myself to discover and learn about how the mind is found in the body. You know, there's a, I don't know how else to say it. I'm just going to describe it as the science of the soul. You know, and how spirit moves through the human body. This all sounds like very religious and weird, but we don't have much language. I know science is doing a great job, especially the quantum physics branch, to describe the intangible. But you know, that this is a language that our ancestors use, and I feel comfortable using it. So, you know, being exposed to those ideas and studying in that direction and experimenting on myself with softer means for strength, I guess I could call it, gave me a well-rounded education. So there was a time when I was at my leanest and smallest and most agile, maybe around 197 pounds.
And how tall are you, Elliot?
How tall am I?
Yes. Give them some perspective what on what that 197 pounds is on a particular frame.
5'8".
Okay.
Right. Yeah, you know, between 5'8" and 5'9".
Okay.
Stretched.
Yeah, you know, everybody ask, hey, they see a guy and they say, how much does he weigh? And they don't even put that component of how tall they are. And that, you know, misguides people on the internet, right? He could be 197 pounds and he's 6'5". That's a lot different than at 5'8". So I just wanted to get that from you. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, that was small. Yeah, I you know, I'm built like a brute. I'm built like the Hulk, you know, muscle. I once told a friend that I look at a barbell and muscles will grow on.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, and I've always been that way. I was 14. I put up a picture on Instagram not so long ago of me when I was 14 years old, and I was wrestling, and it was, you know, I looked like a man with the amount of muscles I had for a kid. So that, you know, I have to say that that was a gift. But but after my, you know, having that contrasting education, I basically went back to being a brute. And when I discovered strongman by chance, you know, I met Tom Mitchell, who was a Florida state chairman for the National Strongman Association, and he invited me over to his house to flip some tires and lift stones and carry kegs and take logs and pick it up off the ground and press it over your head and doing deadlifts with 500 pounds with a thick bar as many times as you can in 90 seconds. I mean, these are the things that that a brute is designed to do.
Right,
you know?
Right.
That's pure bruteness. And I knew it right away. And, you know, I went into Tom Mitchell at 197 pounds. At my biggest, when I just took it to the limit, I was like 240, a little over 240 pounds. So, you know, I had my run of fun there being a brute to the maximum.
Right. Now you alluded to the fact that you're 35 years old right now. When was it that you got into the strongman part of fitness? How long ago was that?
I want to say about 7 years ago.
Okay.
What is this, 2015? Maybe like 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then, so you took this show on the road, you became a YouTube sensation. Tell me how that all evolved.
Well, I really was never any YouTube sensation, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at the videos I was making during that stage of my life, you know, go back to 2007, I think it was my very first video, there was no intention of YouTube stardom there. There's a guy who's trying to make a living as a coach. And he's got a camera and he trains people and, he also trains himself and takes some video of it. And then he puts it on YouTube because it's good for marketing. You know, I was really studying marketing because I knew I wanted to build a nice business in my city, even that would let me have a nice life, you know. And it was challenging, you know. Here I am, and I was in the midst of being in strongman too. You know, that started to evolve. So here I am, like 225-230 pounds most of the time. You know, I barely shave, and I always wore camo shorts and a strength camp shirt. And I had a warehouse in the not so desirable part of town, and I made the videos, and I just put them up on there, and it really never became anything. It was just basically people would ask me questions, and I started answering their questions, and you know, it did a little bit to have some exposure for my football workout program, and then I later on made like a bodybuilding workout plan, and I would sell those on my email list. But you know, it was nothing much. Now there was a point where it did take off.
Yeah, tell me about that. And what did you do to stimulate it to take off?
Well, you know, I never even heard of the term a YouTube celebrity. I never even considered the idea that you could earn a living by just getting a lot of people to like you and watch your videos. That's really what it is. You know, are you entertaining and informative enough to get a lot of people to want to sit and listen to you talk? That's really it. You know, see you talk or see you do your antics. You know, and there are a lot of freaking antics. You know, and not that I'm against antics, but there's a big difference between having fireside chats, conversations with people. That was what I do. And those who, you know, my daughter was watching one the other day, and these two grown men had committed to eating a giant jar full of cheese puffs. I think they said there were something like 600 cheese puffs in there.
Right.
And so the, you know, over the course of the show, they're eating this jar of fucking cheese puffs. And I'm like, so these are antics, but you know, they've got like 7 million views. In
right,
my
right, right.
So I don't know why I went on that rant.
Yeah, no. Well, it's your uniqueness that you just being you, you know, to use that phrase that people, you were just doing you, and it caught on, right? Without some big production or, you know, I mean, it's almost literal now in this social media age. I mean, and it's kind of even humorous to me to even watch this, but you'll see some guy actually dancing. You know, it just reminds me of the old phrase, being a dancing monkey. And the guys are priding themselves on, hey, look at me, crazy dancing, posted in front of you, doing antics, as you called it, where yours was this genuine passion, this emotion, this sincerity, this congruency that came out, and it just caught on, right?
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, don't say that there wasn't any ambition. At one point, I realized, whoa, this thing can take off if I give it my heart and soul. And for a good 2-year run there, you know, maybe a little bit longer, I was my life was dedicated to creating more, better YouTube videos.
Yeah,
I remember talking to my video partners, these guys that you know, I have people early on helping me videotape and edit, and it was like, we just need to make more, better videos. And I poured my heart and soul into it the same way I poured it into college football, the same way I poured it into strongman, and I understood the principles that I learned through athletics and weight training that allow you to be successful in something. And I just put the best I knew how into making more, better videos.
And I don't think people, you know, appreciate that enough. They see, like I said, a guy with a good physique. You know, what you said, I mean, you talked about being so gifted, you can look at a bar and build muscle, right? I mean, I am sure because, you know, genetics play a big part in your physical body. Sometimes that discredits you in a lot of ways. Well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He can do anything. I'm sure you face that being a fitness authority, fitness expert. Am I right?
Yeah, there are always going to be those naysayers. But you know what? They forget that not everybody always loves themselves. And what I mean by that is like you're leaning on your excuse. You're leaning on your shadow, or you're letting your shadow control you. You're letting your low self-esteem and your limited self-perception guide you, and you need a story about it. So the best way to be able to console yourself for that injury that you're laying upon yourself is to look outward and to say, well, you know, he's got this or he's that. Everyone has their own internal battle and challenge. And And I just hope to give others the courage to, instead of looking outward in order to either judge or create your life, look inward and become the stronger version of yourself.
Right.
You can't do that when you're comparing.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that, everybody has their gifts, and maybe your gift is to build muscle, but that alone isn't what created the level of influence that you have. You could have just stayed on that and stayed in Florida and been the muscle guy around town. That doesn't make you an internationally known person. And even that person who's talking about somehow in their mind, like you said, discrediting what you're doing to maybe rationalize why they're not living life at the level that they want, he's got these genetics. Well, that person has these amazing gifts too, that if he exploited in the same way all these other things that I want to talk about that you did to exploit those genetics to become a person who's living a life of passion, taking care of his family. I want to talk about your family, and living this life. It's, you don't become world known without gifts like genetics and then all that hard work. So I want to talk about, that hard work, that ambition that you talked about. I think that a lot of times people can't make the connection. Even when they don't want to make stories, they don't see, they haven't gone through that level of pushing themselves, the hard work, the time all involved. And I think that sometimes people who become successful, that they perpetuate it indirectly or unintentionally. And the reason why is because you know what it's like. You look back on all your experiences of the past, all those challenging times that I alluded to that maybe we'll talk about during this podcast, but you don't talk about them with pain or angst. It's just something that you went through and it made you stronger. So a lot of times leaders, sometimes they'll just skim over that and they're not connected to that pain. So the people who have never felt that, who must go through that journey like you did, they can't connect to that part, and they think that you bypassed it because of the way you're talking about it in retrospect. Does that make – you get what I'm saying there, Elliot?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there are some things that are better felt than explained.
Uh-huh.
You know, my father would often say, you got to feel it. Yeah, he's trying to teach me a lesson. Using his heavy hand or letting me scrape my own knees, he would say, you're not going to understand until you feel it.
Right, right.
And I think that's what happens, first of all, with regard to the leader who kind of bypasses it. You know what? When we're feeling it, we're fucking feeling it.
Yes.
But because we're so progressive and expansive in our character, we don't feel it no more. And we're
exactly
looking for something else to feel.
Right.
You know, it didn't traumatize us. It was just, hey, it was one of those challenges, got through it, boom, what's next?
Exactly.
So it's often difficult to explain because to someone who hasn't felt it. So if you speak to like other entrepreneurs, or how about you talk to other bodybuilders? Because I know that's where you are a champion.
Uh-huh.
And those of the bodybuilders who actually dieted down and cut for a show have a totally different bond with you than those who just still are talking about it.
Right.
You know,
because
they felt it. I mean, when two people have felt the same thing, they look at each other and there's a deep bond there. It's like, ooh, you felt it. So you never really have to explain it. You know, even something like an earthquake,
Right.
Or 9/11, these are things that are visceral. You feel these things. You look around and the people you experience that with, you never have to really describe it. You all felt it. Now, as far as the individual who has not yet felt it, this is very important.
Yeah, most definitely.
Begin with small victories. You need to feel it, but your courage may not be enough to feel it big just yet. And you've got to build up your resistance to mostly your internal resistance to challenges. So begin challenging yourself with small victories. And and know what your weakness is. If your weakness is discipline, then discipline yourself to track your macros, your meals, every day for 90 days. No matter what, you just track it. You track it. What you're doing is you're giving yourself an experience that's going to lead to challenges, because there are going to be days where you don't want to do it, or you forget, or whatever the case may be. You know, a lot of religions realize this. If they want to keep the individuals aligned, they say, well, you need to pray 5 times a day, 7 times a day. You consistently commit to this pattern of behavior. It's a very powerful thing. And if you could develop habits, because that's really what it is, you can really, you know, take over the world in the sense that, you know, do the best that you can.
Right.
So have that as a small victory. Or if it's relationships, you know, relationships might be the thing that's challenging you. I would say go and have those difficult conversations. You know, a lot of times our success is impeded because we have hang-ups with parents or siblings or friends or lovers. That's usually the case. You know, that's why, you know, oftentimes people are afraid of getting in relationships because it looks like just problems.
Right.
But, you know, if you decide that I'm going to take on the challenge of getting over my low self-worth and having open and vulnerable conversations with important people in my life, then you're becoming a winner, because that's going to be a small success that leads to character development.
Right.
You see? So
right.
it doesn't mean, you know, that you felt it because you were in war together with someone. It doesn't mean that you felt it because you even had to be a competitive bodybuilder. But you've chosen to be a stronger version of yourself by committing to something, and you just do it. And you learn along the way.
Right, right. It's like running. I mean, you run your first 3 miles and you feel like your heart's beating out of your chest. How does anybody ever run 6 miles? Well, what you do, you become mentally and emotionally and physically conditioned to it. And basically what you're saying is constantly up your game, right? Challenge yourself more. And before you know it, you become that stronger version of yourself, right? Yeah, I want you to talk about, you know, the things that you did to become the stronger version of yourself. You know, and let's take it up from the physical part. I really admire your copywriting skills, your marketing skills, your website ability. You talk all about that part of the story when you sat in the coffee shop overlooking your gym. Again, during this particular podcast interview series, and I agree with you, it is a challenge for maybe younger guys or people who aren't living up to their potential, what they want, to actually, they've never felt what you're talking about. During these podcasts, I want to do whatever thing I can. And yes, it'd be better if they felt it. But maybe we can reveal some challenge that he had. Oh, wow, I never knew that he went through that. Wow, that's exactly what I'm going through, too. If I just keep it up, I'll be just like Elliot. You know, talk about the things that maybe didn't come as easily for you, like maybe the genetics and the training, that attitude of being a brute and ruthless in the gym and having those genetics build muscle. But that is just a very small part of your level of success and the influence that you have. The things that you had to work on that you weren't so genetically best, that took that discipline, like the copywriting, like the HTML code things you talk about. Talk about that journey, that part of the what made you who you are today.
You want me to talk about copywriting, or do you want me to
all those other pieces that weren't so, that it took that discipline that you talked about, that didn't come so easy for you, that people may not know about it, you know, that part. Like your writing skills, you know, it took that time to develop. The mentors you got in your life who taught you these things, how you sucked at first, and then you developed it. You know, the frustration as you were building websites from code back in the day, that, you know, you know how it is. You try it 50 times, and you finally figure it out the 51st time, and until you do it again, it only takes you 37 times. But it's that grit of those type of other things that all completed this big picture of who you are.
Well, I understand your question, but I don't think I can answer it the way you're asking me to answer it.
Okay.
It doesn't feel right, because I know what you're asking me is, like, you know, those physical battles, those physical challenges. Of course I've had them, and I know it pleases people's ears to hear that that I had a van that I started strength camp with, and I drive around the city literally lugging garbage and training people in the park, and how at one point, the van, which was a huge 1988 conversion van full of sandbags and tires, ran out of gas, and I had to push it into the gas station. Luckily, it wasn't too far, and then I went to go put gas in the damn thing, and my card is denied because I'm overdrafted in funds.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, I've got a family, and I've got a business I'm trying to run. So, you know, people like to hear these things because they can visualize it, they, you know, feel it, you know. And it's consoling also because, you know, that you didn't, you might not have had it that bad, or you could say to yourself, well, yeah, I know what that feels like also. So there's some, there's a level of relationship that, you know, is built when people share stories like that, or when I share stories like that. But, you know, I'd like to at least quickly allude to the internal battles.
Okay.
Because, you know, I often quote Ralph Waldo Emerson by saying every action is measured by the sentiment from which it proceeds. And I have another way of describing that by saying it's more important to consider who you are and who you're becoming. Who are you being and who you're becoming rather than what you do? Because if every action is measured by the sentiment from which it proceeds, all that matters is that you are in touch with who you're being in these various challenging moments. Because life is, these challenges don't stop. I want you all to understand, you know, they like to use this term, your come up story, right?
Right.
Meaning that there was a down and now there's an up. But where's the top? There is no top, you
right,
know, and that's
right.
The thing. You call it a come up, but I call it, I'm still coming up.
Gotcha.
Because if you turn the battle internally, and I say battle, but it's really, you know, the dance internally, then you're always evolving and you're becoming what I call the stronger version of yourself. All the outward things you do are in some way either empowering or disempowering other people. But you know, that's a different part of the message. So I would like to talk quickly about, you know, parts of myself that I had to come to grips with and how I resolve and have embraced them in order to live my life fully.
Yeah. Now that sounds great. Hey, Elliot, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to really get into that story. And also after the break, I want to know about your family. You're married. You married your high school sweetheart. You have four children. I mean, there's a lot more to you that I'm sure the people who are new listening to you, that completes the picture. So we're going to talk about those things when we come back.
Sounds good.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Are you interested in one-on-one coaching with Skip LaCour, but you aren't quite sure it's a good fit for you? That's totally understandable, unless you've had one-on-one coaching in the past or have talked to someone in-depth who's had a great experience with coaching. It can be a real challenge to appreciate its full power and recognize the positive impact it will have on your life. You can get all of your questions about coaching answered by talking to Skip LaCour directly on the phone. Schedule a free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour directly about your current situation, the goals you want to achieve, and the challenges you believe are standing in your way. Skip works exclusively with men who are the most committed to their success. He'll gladly take the time to explain all of the benefits of his one-on-one coaching programs and determine if the two of you would be a good match moving forward into such a close, consistent, and intense working relationship. Schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching right now by going to www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk. Once again, that website address to schedule your free 15-minute personal phone call and talk to Skip LaCour about one-on-one coaching is www.skiplacourcoaching.com/talk.
We are back with Elliot Hulse, professional strongman, fitness authority and leader, charismatic, motivational speaker, and he has a unique way of getting through to you, helping out so many people just like you. I wanted him to tell you about his trials and tribulations, and he believes instead of telling those stories, it's more important that he tells you the internal battle. So tell us about that, Elliot.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, in our upbringing, throughout our upbringing, there are parts of ourselves that we come to disown, and they're cast into the shadow. And, you know, there was a part of me that just wasn't good enough, outspoken, loud, aggressive. you know, they labeled me as attention deficit hyperactive disorder when I was a kid because, you know, I had a lot of energy and I was constantly expressing myself. And so, you know, a kid like that, he's definitely damaged. So you got to give him Ritalin or something like that. At least that's what they thought. So that caused me to reject myself, a part of myself. And like I said earlier, we all go through this. It's obvious for me in retrospect, but you know, I don't think I understood what was happening when I was a kid either. You know, as you go through your struggles and have your parts of yourself that you disavow or disown, I'm sorry. You don't know what is happening. But anyway, so my full self-expression made its way into the shadows, you know. So I never really, I put that away, and it was like I needed to become more civilized, I guess you would say. And, you know, that only gets you so far. It only gets you so far in life. And when I say in life, I don't mean in success. I mean in the pursuit for happiness, the pursuit for pleasure in life, for loving yourself. It doesn't get you very far. Because, you know, life is pressing enough as it is, but to have parts of yourself that you don't love, that you haven't integrated, makes it that much more pressing. It's just a heavier burden to carry. So, you know, we all get stuck, you know. We get stuck in ruts. We get depressed. We get we have anxiety. We don't know what is up from down, you know. How many people feel that is a common those are common symptoms in today's society: depression, anxiety, lethargy, where they feel just apathetic, just non-stimulated or overly stimulated and destructive. You know, these are all behaviors that don't allow you to access your full freeness, your full self. So the journey for us all is to come in contact with what's causing that anxiety, what's causing us to feel feel disjointed, you know, unconnected from ourselves. Uh-huh. And therein lies the jewel of self-discovery, you know, embracing that part of you that you're fighting with that's causing you to be depressed. You know, you're literally depressing a part of your consciousness when you shut down your body that way. Uh-huh. Or what has got you so charged up and angry that you're self-destructive? You know, I that was my tendency. Just charged up and angry, so self-destructive. You know, a lot of the things I did were self-destructive. So the journey for me and for all of us, because this is the journey of becoming a stronger version of yourself. Like I say, it's about who you are and who you're becoming rather than what you're doing. The real battle, the real journey for us is this journey of self-discovery. And the more we get in touch with the parts of us that we've rejected and do, as I said, Joseph Campbell describes as eating your shadow, the more you more powerful you become as a being. So to go from, being rejected for being outspoken, loud, aggressive, and expressive to, you know, everything that came with that, you know, that being repressed, to realizing that, hey, if I turn on this camera and I get back in touch with what's actually going on inside me, which is I'm really expressive, and I'm very transparent with my expression. I almost have to, I'm learning how to ground myself so that I don't say and do everything. but I learned very quickly that this is a very pleasing character and he will bring me much pleasure in life. And it was a journey of that required everything that a hero's journey requires, including mentorship, so the call to adventure, mentors, trials, and of course the slaying of the dragon and the return home.
Right.
You know, so that's one of many of the hero's journeys that I've experienced. And that, you know, we all experience if we allow ourselves to grow where we are weak. And that means embracing that which we've rejected.
Right.
So, you know, the ADD kid who, you know, had to reject a part of himself, realized that if he turns on a camera and he's just himself, gets, has somewhat success.
Yeah. Now you talked about turning down your level of transparency, at least for a little while here. Let's keep it up here, right? So you talked about those behaviors that were self-destructive. I mean, that could be a bunch of stuff, a lot of different levels. What was that in your particular life? How are you self-destructive?
Oh, well, I discovered myself through my body, so I beat the shit out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know what I remember you from being the drug-free bodybuilder in one of the magazines I used to read, and you had a column.
Uh-huh.
Well, I could never write that column because there was a point where I said, I'll do whatever it takes to get as strong as I possibly can.
Uh-huh.
And I used steroids.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, a lot of people think that I got where I got because of the steroids. No, I got where I got because I'm a beast and I'm a masochist. And I forced myself to be powerful.
Right,
and strong.
Right.
You know, I got genetics. But I, you know, of course, when you're pushing the limits, you always have that what if question. You know, what if? So I said, you know, of course, what if? I'm going to find out.
Uh-huh.
Another experience. That's what life is about, is experiences. We're supposed to have these challenges and failures, but successes along the way too. So I used steroids and my muscles got so strong that, of course, what happens is the tendon can't keep up with the leverage. The muscle becomes so strong that it overpowers it. And while, you know, training for an upcoming strongman event, I tore my bicep, and that was just the beginning. When I say just the beginning, I never stopped beating the shit out of myself.
Uh-huh.
It was injuries. I injured my finger lifting stones. I broke my ankle. So, you know, I really let my body be the canvas, you know, the battlefield.
Yeah. So let me go back a little bit. I don't know. So were your parents, were they married forever? I guess I'm curious how a guy has the beliefs and the desire to marry his high school sweetheart. You have four children. Did it because you had great examples growing up? I'm curious.
Well, you know, I just want to say that there's no belief behind this. I have no belief with regard to, you know, long-term commitments in relationships. I do have the pattern though that my parents stayed together and they did the best that they could to keep order in the home by having a strong patriarch and matriarch, you know. And they even had help, you know. I had my aunt live with me. So when you say core family values, it's not such a belief but a pattern. Patterns begin in the home. Whether we reject the pattern or embrace the pattern,
I totally agree.
I rejected a lot of patterns that were given to me, but one that made its way through was, you know, I grew up with four children, and you know, now my children, there are four children. You know, when I say there's no need for beliefs, it's because this is what I experienced, and you know, I yielded into the the river that I was born into. A lot of times we fight, and I sure as hell fight,
uh-huh.
But because I come from a home where there was order and stability, and that means, you know, that there's a mother and a father, and they care for one another, that made its way into all of us, you know, my siblings, and then to obviously to my relationships.
Yeah. So you talk about that. You married your high school sweetheart. You have four children. Tell me about that journey. And, you know, I'm curious is that, you know, all I do is think about steady success. I've been that way forever. That's what this interview podcast is all about. I get people who I want to learn from, and that's you, Elliot, right? And I can't help but notice this pattern. Mm-hmm. That some of the most successful people, regardless of the challenges, the demons that we all have, they've had that stability growing up. And I'm curious, was your wife or her parents married forever too, or the majority of the time?
No.
Okay.
No. All I'll say is that her family wasn't as stable as mine.
Okay.
My family was a rock for even Colleen because she came to be with us, meaning like she became my girlfriend, at a very vulnerable age.
Uh-huh.
She was 14 years old. We were
okay.
Both 14. And she really didn't have the same type of stability in her home that there was in my home. And she spent a good part, you know, we were best friends. We were children, you know, and we spent a good part of our teenage years together.
Uh-huh.
14 up through 19, we went to separate colleges. And, you know, I wish I could tell you I was always conscious of what was going on. And I wish I could tell you that I always pursued what is happening right now, but I've had challenges. Uh-huh. She's had challenges. And, you know, that being said, we committed to the relationship. I think that's really what I see in your ability to develop long-term committed relationship with someone, especially someone as important as a life partner,
right?
As a virtue, not because you owe anything to that other person or that person is a part of you. It's a virtue because developing relationships is what life is all about.
Yeah.
So when you can take a primary relationship like that and devote yourself, be a warrior, and devote yourself to the principle of relationship, not out of guilt or because you're supposed to, and you know, God's going to strike you with lightning if you don't, or you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It has nothing to do with belief. It has to do with a principle. Relationship is a principle.
Right. It's just your identity. That's just what you do. Right.
Right. It's one of these things that I realize will add to my life rather than take away.
Well, that's what I was saying, Elliot, is that I've just noticed that some of the most successful, powerful, influential people, not that it's mutually exclusive, but they've had that grounding when they were growing up and then they're passing it along. And it seems to bypass a lot of intimacy issues, challenges, trust. That really, if you think about it, a lot of the men you're leading who come to you for fitness, they don't necessarily always have that background. And maybe that's the reason why you're leading them. They don't come from that solid place, and they spend so much time trying to feel what that is, like in the dark. They don't know what that really is. Have you noticed that?
Well, we've all been there. You know, the fact that I was with my girlfriend or my wife or so many years doesn't mean that I didn't find myself in those dark places.
Sure.
Because relationship only works when there's intense self-observation and discovery between each individuals individually.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of my principles for a solid relationship is to support the other person in becoming the strongest version of herself.
Right.
And putting my needs secondary. So we all, including myself, find ourselves in the dark. Of course, I was with my girlfriend, my now wife, since I was 14 years old. But, you know, relationship is a process of becoming a stronger version of yourself. That's very important. So even though you're living life alongside with someone, if you're not whole, then the relationship won't be whole. And there were times when I was not whole. You know, I'm still not whole.
Sure.
But there were a lot more holes in me back then. So the feelings of loneliness, being misunderstood, not feeling worthy of love, being an addicted, promiscuous lover, these are all negative manifestations of a primary love object relationship injury that we have. And if, like I said before, if you consider the Oedipal complex, or a lot of attachment theory now, you know, it doesn't have to be so poetic as Freud, but it could be a lot of the attachment studies and science that's going on about, you know, what happens with the love object relationship between the child and the mother.
Right.
And then, you know, of course, the structure of society and how that bond has to be broken in some acknowledged way.
Right.
Without guilt being there about your sexuality, then you're going to have trouble. And we all have trouble in relationships because this is not a topic that's really, we don't consider. Where were you first hurt? And what did that hurt? How did that hurt change your character?
Right.
Are you now not, you're so stiff now that you won't tell a woman that you love her? You're so tight-lipped that you just can't let down and dance with her? You see what I'm saying?
I do. I do.
Your sexuality has been repressed, or are you so aggressive and angry about it towards women that you're a serial date raper, or you know, just guys who just all they're out there is for the conqueror of boning women. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are both negative manifestations of a primary broken heart.
Right. Well, you being so reflective on your life, how you evolved, how you continue to evolve. I'm curious, you have four children. I mean, how is that influencing you as a father and what you're trying to instill in your kids and prevent them from experiencing?
Well, you know, I take it as my life's mission. It's to become a stronger version of myself and empower others. And I take that literally in every relationship that I have. I said that life is about relationships, and your children are relationships. They're not who they are. In other words, if you approach them for who they are, meaning you know, their name and their form, as opposed to which is important, we do need to do. But if you take a perspective of how do I navigate this relationship in such a way that I'm empowering her or him, then you're going to be a bit more strategic about how you parent. You're just being aware of how you're parenting. And one of the things that I think is common sense that we need to be aware of is, are you speaking to your child where they are? And, you know, I have one daughter. My oldest daughter is very mature, but she's been very mature since she was 3 years old. Full conversations with adults when, you know, most kids are still drooling.
Uh-huh. And then I
have two other daughters, one of which her heart is so warm and so generous that we nicknamed her Generous Emma. Her name's Emerson.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And she's so sweet. And I've got Simone, who is just a lightning rod of energy, just bouncing and smiling and laughing and singing. And it doesn't look like it's an age thing. We thought it was an age thing. We realized it's the character thing.
Uh-huh.
This child is just expressive. And then I got Benjamin, who's my one son. And it's interesting to see what he's becoming. I don't want to nail him down just yet because he still doesn't talk much. And he's still a baby. It takes time to develop a relationship with people.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I take that approach, and I see them for who they are, of course, but also how do I nurture this relationship so that they each become the strongest version of who they are, not what I think they should be, but who they really are.
Right, right. All right, hey, Elliot, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back from this break, I want to talk about your rise on YouTube, why you stepped away from it. What are you doing now? Tell me about these relationships you talk about. You coach men and women, I assume, all over the world, how that all works, and then you know, how people can get a hold of you to get some more of this. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. Do you feel that you just can't get yourself motivated and disciplined enough to actually do the important things you know you must to reach those goals in life that you always say you want? Have you ever worked long and hard toward your ambitious goals, only to ask yourself, is this all there is once you've achieved them? If you can relate to these challenges, feelings, and emotions, then Skip LaCour's book, It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder, will give you the insight and perspective to finally understand the obstacles that stand in your way and prevent you from living the life you really want. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder is Skip LaCour's very personal and revealing story about his journey to find the oftentimes elusive feeling of happiness in life that we're all looking for. In this book, the 6-time national champion, drug-free bodybuilder, entrepreneur, and speaker shares with you the most powerful lessons that he's learned about life to make your experience the very best it can be. It's his sincere effort to make good on the promise he made to himself during his darkest days, to make sure that the personal pain that he suffered doing everything he believed was right, and most importantly, exactly what he did to overcome that pain, empowers you with more direction, perspective, insight, love, and passion sooner rather than later. In the social media age, where it seems as though everyone is trying to present their lives to be a lot better than they really are, Skip LaCour makes sure he doesn't play that game, so he provides you with the clarity and direction you've been searching for. Everything that happens in your life can and will serve you in some way, shape, or form. It's just a matter of time until you realize it. It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour will help you realize this about your own life. This book could very well be the source of the inspiration and information that you need to finally take control over your life and find your personal path to happiness. To learn more about It's a Matter of Trust, Confessions of a Recovering Bodybuilder by Skip LaCour, go to www.itsamatteroftrust.com.
We are back with fitness authority and the creator of Strength Camp, Elliot Hulse. So, Elliot, we were talking about relationships. I want to talk about you created this relationship over YouTube, and then you stopped doing it. So I want to talk about, you know, what caused you to do that. More importantly, what you're doing now, what your big plans are for the future. All right, so talk about YouTube. You got a million subscribers. You were doing up to four videos. Was it a day or was it a week? It seemed like there was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got that helped you create a living, more than a regular person's job, because they became so powerful. You becoming your authentic self, you're able to take care of your family, but you walked away from that. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I think it's true when they say that the journey never ends. You know, if you're looking for success, whatever that means to you, it's like, I think the term is asymptotic, like an asymptotic line, almost like trying to chase the horizon, because as you go, it keeps going.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And if you're set on a destination, I think a lot of people end up not enjoying their lives because they set destinations or they get stuck on landmarks instead of traversing the globe, just enjoying the tracking down of that asymptotic line, knowing that there's no end in sight. There really isn't, but enjoying it as you go.
Right.
You know, the aggressive energy in us wants to go. And it wants to go because it wants you to grow. And it wants you to grow because it wants the world to grow. So to become fully you means that that you have to let go of who you think yourself to be sometimes. You see, because we get attached to landmarks, and success and failure are two landmarks that we can get attached to while traveling this unending self-exploration and self-expression that we call life. So, you know, I often say that Earl Nightingale said, actually, you've got two types of people. You've got gold people and you got river people.
Uh-huh.
And gold people, you know, and you could be one of the one of either, but and you'll be successful as either. But he says that the river people are usually far more relaxed and happy. And what he means is, you know, the gold people, they're going to marshal all of their reserves to getting a particular tangible thing. You know, there's a benchmark. There's a real and tangible end.
Uh-huh.
Where the river person just simply, like it sounds, just lets the river carry them. You know, they know which river they want. Like, you know, if you're into bodybuilding, well, I like that river. And you just kind of like let go and travel with the river. So in my pursuit of happiness, allowing the river to guide me instead of me guiding the river, I've had to... and we all need to look at the things that the world calls successful and ask yourself, is this really where I want to be? Is this where the river's taking me, or am I holding on? So, you know, the river took me through the land of YouTube growth and self-discovery for myself in that way. And paid me dividends. It said, yes, this is good. It's a good version of you, Elliot. And the world said so too, you know, a million subscribers.
Right.
That's my world anyway.
Uh-huh.
So there's all this reward for being a certain way. But because the advancing person is always looking to advance, my eyes, I wasn't satisfied. You know, my eyes are still set on that asymptotic line.
Uh-huh.
What more could I be? And one thing that you'll learn, and I've just, well, not you, but anyone listening, you know, of course, all of us, this is what I've learned, I guess that's the best way to say it, is that I use the analogy, if you climb to the top of a mountain and you get there and you're happy about what you've achieved, but you look in the horizon and there's a higher mountain,
uh-huh,
and you realize, why not? Because that's really what it is. It's not an erotic drive for anything, at least the way I see it.
Uh-huh.
And experience it. It's a matter of, well, I think I can do that. You know, I think it's within me to do that. You have to go through a breakdown, period. In other words, you're at the top of that mountain, but you've got to climb back down.
Right.
And humility has a lot to do with it. When I say humility, I mean humility to the self. You know, the ego needs to bow down to the self, meaning that which is higher in you, stronger in you, more evolved in you. So the ego has to take its, and the ego doesn't go very easily because the ego is, there's a lot of negative talk about the ego, but the ego is the construct by which you approach life. And if it's giving you dividends, then you don't want to give that thing up.
Right. And also feels good to be on top rather than start another climb and kind of suck like everybody goes through a journey, right?
Right. Yeah, they say washed up. Washed up. I don't want to be no old washed up YouTube celebrity. I never even intended to be a YouTube celebrity. I just ended up on this place and it's like I marvel, but that's about it.
Uh-huh.
So, more so than a plan, but there was a feeling. You know, I know you mentioned mindset as a part of this this talk, but really, I invite people to have body set. You know, how are you set? How are you emotionally set? How is your heart? How is your gut? My heart and gut were not right, and the instinct was, you ought to stop. You ought to stop this thing because there's more. And the scary thing is, you don't know what that more is, but you're just trusting the river. So, I'm learning how to be less emotionally reactive, but I also know that it's been my gift. So I, at one point, just when the gate opened itself, I said, I'm out of here.
Without a real plan, without just knowing you wanted to go in a different direction. But what is that? I mean, can you reveal that right now? Is that still evolving?
The plan? I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, meaning that high, you said that I'm at a place, it's a comfortable place, I'm doing very well, I'm using my abilities to the fullest, the world is rewarding me, but I see a higher place that I want to evolve to. Is that something specific for you, or do you just know it's out there?
Here's the thing, yeah, I can get specific, and I tend to be very poetic, so I can get to specifics in a moment, but I just want it to be understood that it's a matter of, they use the phoenix. The two greatest examples is the phoenix, that burns itself up and then rises again.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, the Christ spirit, the Christ, which gives itself up. It dies to itself. It lets the world take it and crucify it and then come back again.
Uh-huh.
The resurrection. If you will, this is a principle. This is a life principle. Resurrection is a life principle. You need to break down before you build up. You need to be crucified before you make a return.
Uh-huh.
You need to burn down before you can ascend to flight once again. So in allowing life to take its course and yielding to that pattern, which is, like I say, it's a principle. Nothing gets built up unless it's broke down. Anabolic and catabolic. We know this from bodybuilding.
Right.
Break down that tissue if you're going to build it back up. So I just allowed it to happen and have trust that it's the right thing. I'm pleased to say that although there was a period of death, meaning walking down the mountain, deconstructing your ego, going into what Mercer Eliade would call the liminal space, he studied personal transformation through cross-cultural references, cross-cultural mythology. And, there are rites of passage that ancient societies built, ancient people, our ancestors built to facilitate this breakdown process and rebuilding process that I also referred to as the hero's journey. Uh-huh. We don't really, there's no process to facilitate that in a real liminal way, the way he described it, like deep and emotional way in our society. Of course, I had like First Communion and confession and stuff like that through Catholic Church. And then, there are different religious rites, but really, a community that comes together to support people in their rites of passage and their breakdown to build up and their personal transformation on their hero journey doesn't really exist. So, but, because I studied and I've been on this journey of self-exploration long enough, I was blessed with the knowledge that I'm going through a breakdown period and I need to allow this.
Uh-huh.
What will it take? And it took, stopping videos. It took moving out of my gym and having a separate office where I do work. It took the letting go of weightlifting that has served me so much. I've only just now begun weightlifting about 2 weeks ago again. It's been 6 months where I've only done yoga.
Oh, wow.
That's all I've done. This is called submission, you know, and the process of being broken down to grow again doesn't happen if you resist. It's called submission, and humility is the greatest virtue, at least in my experience, when coming through this, because you have to let go of what you believe. You got to let go of who you think you are. You've got to let go of even your most cherished ideas and habits. And then it's a beautiful thing, because as you let that go and you start with a clean slate, you can rebuild new habits and emerge as a resurrected version of yourself, a stronger version of yourself. Guys, this is the process of growing stronger, and I'm doing it here to show you. So as the river carries me, the springtime is brewing. And it's starting to feel right to come back and introduce myself and speak to people on YouTube and through social media as I once had, but a little bit different. That's all.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Yeah. Well, tell us all about Strength Camp. I know that you coach people all around the world. Tell me what you have to offer your clients, how they can get a hold of you. I mean, tell me the context. I mean, because you're showing that you're really a deep person with a lot of insight that you can share with a lot of people, in addition to, you know, the strength training, right? Tell us all about Strength Camp.
Well, it is like it sounds. You go there to get stronger. And although the mission is to become a stronger version of yourself and empower others, you know, and that's our tagline, to become the strongest version of yourself, we take it literally. And that means your body had better be fit. You know, you're not fit for self-discovery, and this is just me making a blanket statement.
Okay.
You know, sue me. But you're not the strongest version of yourself, in my mind, and you're not on this journey if you're not committed to physical health.
Uh-huh.
There's no two ways about it. If you're treating your body poorly by filling it with crappy food, you're treating your body poorly by either abusing it with abusive exercise or misusing it or just not using it, you're missing the foundation. You know, it's where you come from. It's all of your actions are measured by the sentiment from which it proceeds. Well, we can make that a little less poetic and say that all of your actions come from your body. Look at you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there are different elements to that. And Strength Camp is a means by which I'd like to recreate the experience for young men and women, of course, and my wife has been training there with us for the past couple of weeks and months, and it's incredible. She's, you know, I see her as an example for women, and they're already taking her as that. Uh-huh. But I talk to young men, and you know, because that's been my dharma. That's what I'm put here to do.
Right.
And what everyone can listen in, and I love everyone. But recreating the experience for young men where they can come to know themselves through fitness, through the body, through health. You know, and that is just a gateway to so much more, because as you care for your body, you know, your outward body, you're to care for your physiology. And as you care for your physiology, you begin to contemplate and care for your psychology. And as you grow as an individual and your cup starts to fill up, it does what it does, which is spilleth over. And that's where empowering others comes in. And I see a world where we're all on this journey of filling our cup up and spilling it over to empower others. And that's how we get to where humanity is going.
Right, right. Now, Strength Camp, is that in Florida? I know that you help men all over the world using the power of the internet, too. Is it combined? I mean, how can someone... what's the best way to get a hold of you to get some of this Strength Camp and becoming that stronger version of themselves?
Well, my strategic mission for Strength Camp is a Strength Camp everywhere for anyone in the world to grow stronger.
Okay.
And that, I mean, I take that literally. So, of course, we're going to do everything we can to bring Strength Camp to you. Of course, you'll need an internet connection. You know, if you have an internet connection, you can connect to Strength
Gotcha.
Camp. So, of course, there's all the things we have and the things we're bringing with regard to online coaching And, you know, Coach Chris and I, who is my partner at Strength Camp, we're going to create a book called The Strength Camp Method, which teaches everything that we believe is right about becoming a stronger version of yourself, of course, including a weight training program. And then, of course, the Strength Camp gym. You know, there's only one right now, and we're giving it as much love as we can to build it up in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I invite the whole world every Monday. I say, we've got open gym. You can come. And we've had people come from, Sweden, Norway, Germany, Japan, Australia, New Zealand. I mean, I can go on and on. It's been a fascinating and beautiful experience for myself and everyone who can come. But also, you know, it would be nice to see an actual tangible strength camp in the cities and towns of the people, of the young men and women and people, anyone who's on this journey to becoming a stronger version of themselves, find a program, find a community, find coaching and support to become a stronger version of themselves.
Yeah, and all these ways to get this type of coaching, this type of service, these type of experiences, these life coaching that Elliot has to offer. You can go to ElliotHulse.com. That's Elliot with two T's. I don't know if people mix that up. He's so available on the Google search. You can come anywhere close and you can find him. So you're going to learn all about Strength Camp and a lot more there too. Well, Elliot, thank you so much. Your story is amazing. Your whole evolution, your mindset, this hero's journey that you're on, I'm so excited to see how it evolves even further. I'm anticipating your return to YouTube. Sounds like you're ready. And again, thank you so much for spending this time on this bodybuilding and fitness podcast. Now, we talked about you on ElliotHulse.com. All of your other social media outlets are very easy. You're on Twitter, Elliot Hulse, Instagram, Elliot Hulse, Facebook.com/ElliotHulse. All right. Anything else you want to add?
Nope. Elliot Hulse and Strength Camp.
All right. Thank you so much. I am Skip LaCour for Elliot Hulse. Thank you so much. Train hard, think big. Hey, and send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. I want to know what you got from this podcast. How has it helped you? And also, when you go to ElliotHulse.com, send him an email too, and we'll send each other back and forth and share. I want to hear what you have to say, whether you're listening to this from skiplacour.com in my bodybuilding circles, or you found us on Blog Talk Radio, on Stitcher, or on iTunes. All right? I want to get your feedback. So, again, for Elliot Hulse, I'm Skip LaCour. Train hard and think big.
You're listening to Skip LaCour's Bodybuilding and Fitness Podcast. So, you have your bodybuilding and training efforts going in the right direction. That's awesome. Are you now ready to take your entire life to the next level too? Sure, it takes a lot of focus and discipline to build a great body, but that's not going to automatically translate into an incredible overall life too, unless you have a clear-cut vision for exactly what you want for your life and an effective plan that you really believe in to make it happen. Maybe you've already realized this. Your body has improved dramatically. People compliment you all the time, but you still feel that there's something missing. What's your plan to become more than just a great body and create an amazing, balanced, overall quality of life that you can be proud of and confidently work toward? One-on-one peak performance coaching specialist Skip LaCour will help you channel all that your hard work, discipline, and abilities to become more than just muscles and help you build a life filled with confidence, passion, and purpose. You can have it all. Confidence in every social situation, wealth, opportunity, freedom, love, and connection, along with your impressive physical body and amazing health. When you know the strategies to put it all together and execute them on a continual basis, go to SkipLaCourCoaching.com and see the different one-on-one life coaching plans Skip LaCour has to help you. Set up a free coaching session to see if this exclusive next-level one-on-one coaching program is right for you by sending Skip an email at Skip@SkipLaCourCoaching.com.